Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krops.
All right, welcome everybody. Second hour here on Freedom Friday. Freedom Friday is where I give you the freedom to call and talk about anything political you want to get off your chest today. Maybe you care about, that's important to you. Doesn't have to be what I'm talking about today. It could be anything. It's really easy. You just pick up the phone and call 503-589-1220. 503-589-1220. I want to remind you, another one of our great advertisers that makes this show possible, and frankly, this entire radio station and its great programming possible, is Eric Gazer at Righteous Renovations. You know, if you need any work done on your home or your business, you really ought to check out who his company is and how he treats his customers. In fact, the way you could do that is just go to his website, righteousrenovations.com. Righteousrenovations.com. Check out the great and the very glowing, satisfied comments from customers. That ought to give you confidence that he's a contractor you can trust to do it right, to do it your way. Righteousrenovations.com. Corby writes me an email. By the way, if you want to send me an email, it's easy. It's Jeff at 1220.am. Or you can call on Freedom Friday, 503-589-1220. That is the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220. Here's what Corby says regarding China. What we are witnessing is the overthrow of the United States of America. Kate Brown is just an agent of China, or the deep state, Lucifer, whatever a person wants to call it. They're using the coronavirus and vaccines as bioweapons. They're attacking us through cyber warfare also. It goes so much deeper. I know it's hard for people to wrap their heads around, and it sounds so unbelievable, but so true. Several years ago, a veteran talked about the process to finish what JFK tried to do to stop the deep state. Folks, if you don't know what that was, JFK had an executive order ready to be signed that basically did away with the CIA, and it consolidated a number of the agencies, intelligence community, into one body. A lot of speculation that, well, that's why he was killed and that the CIA was involved. Lots of speculation about that. Anyway, that's what he's referring to. I continue with his email. What's happening now, I believe, is exactly what JFK laid out. I'm trying to find the video where I heard temporary martial law was part of the plan in order to do the arrests. Believe it or not, I guess we'll wait and see. Sad when we have closed our eyes for years and allowed this to happen. I don't want to see martial law at all, but we've been backed into a corner. I'm sorry I can't explain it all in an email. Now, my friend Freddie sent me a text. Maybe this is all much ado about nothing, is kind of, or actually, he just doesn't think it's anything's going to happen here. He says, this whole election has been nothing but a dangling carrot of election reversal, but nothing ever happens. I'm sick of hearing about it. Okay. Maybe it doesn't happen. And frankly, I hope it doesn't. But I'm telling you, a lot of the things are being put in place here that would seem to indicate that it might. Now, regarding martial law, Rich wrote me another email. He says, a very quick look at it. Yes, martial law has been declared in the United States in limited areas. Example are the Cold Wars in the East in the 30s, the hurricane in New Orleans, Katrina, MacArthur, moving out the World War I vets from Washington, D.C. That may also count. And so on limited area martial law, I'm sure Mr. Flynn is correct. I'm not sure you can count the riots in Detroit in the 60s or the Compton, California riots But I think you can. I'm sure others will be sending you a more complete list. Well, maybe so. And those are all real things that happened. So limited areas. The president invoking the terms of the Insurrection Act to engage the military. Suspending habeas corpus. Actually arresting Supreme Court justices. Like I guess Lincoln did. Lincoln certainly suspended habeas corpus. So if you nullify the DOJ, if you nullify the FBI, this gets really scary, folks. If you nullify the Supreme Court, because it doesn't matter. You've put in place martial law. You are allowed under the Constitution as the president to do just that. It is a radical and extreme measure. So is invoking the executive order, which would allow the confiscation of assets and bank accounts. Now, this is where you put the fear of God into the American politicians, both parties. Let me say that again. Both parties who have benefited from not just China, but Russia, have benefited from the swamp. You see, it's one thing to talk about invoking martial law to go in and use the military. Again, he would have to invoke the Insurrection Act and declare martial law. Suspend habeas corpus. Go in and rerun the elections in these limited areas, where it's pretty obvious that there's been a lot of fraud. By the way, you know, I watched a video last night. It is on the Gateway Pundit. You gotta scroll down a bit, and it's about Arizona. And it's a pretty good video that explains, how the votes were changed, It is very interesting. And you gotta go clear down to yesterday. It's by Christina Lila. It's called The Numbers Don't Lie. Data scientists break down voter fraud in Arizona, and it's shocking. 790,000 laundered votes were injected into the system. 790,000 laundered votes. And they show you all of the data and how the data plays out. It is most interesting. It's in the weeds a little bit, but there's no question. In Maricopa County, Philadelphia, places in Wisconsin, certainly Detroit, Michigan, certainly Atlanta, Georgia, certainly Las Vegas. A lot of stuff happened, folks. And it's impossible. By the way, did you know that none, and I've said this before, and I think I've confirmed it now, so far, none of the actual evidence that apparently Sidney Powell or Trump's lawyers have has actually been heard in court? None of it. Now, at some point, they're going to have to release it. Sidney Powell is angry with justification that the Supreme Court is slow walking the state's response to her, to them accepting her Kraken lawsuits in, I think, four states. they're not even going to ask the states to respond until January 14th, folks. Now, Glenn, hang on, because I will take your call, but it'll be after the break here. And the reason that I'm going to do that is because I need to make this point. Will he or won't he? Will Trump actually pull the trigger? With every day that goes by, that the deep state or the DOJ, deep state in the intelligence community, or the DOJ, or the Department of Homeland Security does not give the president what is demanded in his executive order, it removes options from Trump to go the legal route. Every time the U.S. Supreme Court, because apparently John Roberts, for whatever reasons, is not accepting all of these lawsuits or rejecting them, every time that happens, or they slow walk it, or they reject them outright, it takes away options from Trump to use the system, the constitutional system, that would allow the proper disposition of all the actual evidence to be seen in front of the judges. That would allow the Congress then on January 6th to choose the competing slates of electors. Now that gets really sticky because apparently the governors now are involved, and in many of these states, you know, the governors are Democrat and they're never going to allow the Republican electors to be there. That's why the story I talked about yesterday, what if Mike Pence as the presiding officer just refuses to accept, the results? I'm telling you, friends, every day that all of these things get denied, Trump, his options become more narrow. And ultimately, we're going to get down to this one question. Does the president take the most extreme action possible in invoking the terms of the executive order and not just impounding machines, but instituting the Insurrection Act, getting the military out there to rerun these elections? If he's going to do that, he better do it really soon. It is extreme. It will have incredible negative impacts on the stock market, on business, on a lot of things, not to mention rioting in the streets. Except the military is going to be in the streets. And the moment that Antifa shows up in downtown Portland, that's not going to turn out so good for them, or in downtown Salem like they have been lately. There's more news. I'm going to get to Glenn on the other side. It's Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? 503-589-1220. That's the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Back in a moment. 720.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
722 in the morning. At the bottom of the hour, we have an interview coming up with Janice Deisinger. She's a grassroots election, really expert, I think is how I would. She's the person I go to with election questions about Oregon specifically. She has a long history in here. She was with Mike Nierman in Polk County the other day. We want to talk with her perspective about that and the opportunity to that we're going to have, by the way, right after the first of the year, to reexamine and do a recount in Polk County because they use not Dominion voting machines, but ES&S, which unfortunately has very similar software. Let's see how accurate it is. This segment of the show is brought to you by Bill Sunderland, Country Financial. It's the Sunderland Agency. You can check them out on the web, sunderlandagency.com. That's Sunderland, S-U-N-D-E-R-L-A-N-D, sunderlandagency.com. And, you know, these are interesting times. If you want to talk to a professional who knows his stuff about how to, you know, make sure your finances and your portfolio of assets are positioned, he can help. Check him out, sunderlandagency.com, or give him a call. Give Bill a call at 503-885-0789. Let's go to Glenn. Glenn, thanks for hanging on. Your thoughts again.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for taking Art and my calls, second bite of the apple, because this is Stacy's program, but thanks. One thing about your supporters and KSLM, as we lose income and revenue, it's not because we're not wanting to support the supporters of all your programs, but sometimes the things they offer are high-ticket items that we can't participate in. Perhaps, Jeff, KSLM would set up a store that carries products, carries gift cards, or some way where we can break it down so those high-ticket supporters, we could participate with them, in which really we don't need those huge, do you follow what I'm saying, those huge elements, pricier.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I haven't thought about that. It's an interesting idea.
A lot of us are losing income, and I can do the small things, but then I feel bad for those that have the high ticket items. We're not avoiding them. We're not there. What about the store?
You know, you bring up an interesting point. You know, one of the things here in Oregon, a lot of the local Republican Party, parties like Marion County, I know Lynn County, I really know Lane County, those local parties have made a bunch of money off of selling Trump gear, flags, MAGA hats, you know, all kinds of stuff. And it has really given the local parties, to the best of my knowledge, Glenn, money that they've never had before. Because people are getting something of value that they value. They're going to buy it somewhere. They're going to buy it online or something. And I think what you're suggesting is that KSLM, because of what we do as a radio station, a talk radio station, we could engage in selling KSLM swag, if you will, or stuff that might have creative messages that it would be something of value.
But if you created a small store in Salem or somewhere associated with KSLM, you sell products that you grow on the farm. They're breakable in small parts that can be bought with not such a high-ticket item. And what if you brought all these vendors with products together into some sort of a venue? And or we would contribute to a fund that would break them down into gift cards, something.
That's an interesting idea about bringing together all the advertisers and having their products or their services in a you're talking about a physical retail location, right?
Something attached to the radio station or a vendor that has space, anything that would work. Keep it simple.
Another great idea. No, let me run that up the flagpole because the owners of the radio station actually have, I think, space available.
They actually
to do
did.
That kind
they
of
used
retail
to do
space
this.
Available.
They used to do this when they were the Hebrew Nation station. I bought calendars and all books from them.
I didn't know that. Wow. Okay. Well, in this time of Trump and who knows what else is going to happen here. That might be a very interesting idea. Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate the suggestion. And thanks for calling again a second time. By the way, not everybody likes art. I get emails about art. So, Art, you know, I love you, brother. People have problems with not only what you say, but how you say it. You know, and my response to that is, well, you know, this show is a call-in talk show. And I want people to express their thoughts. Everybody. Including Art. And frankly, especially with Freedom Friday, I mean, that's the day that we say, hey, this is your opportunity to call and talk about anything political you want to talk about. You know, Art's a regular caller. He's a listener. He's a guy I've known a long time. He used to lobby me when I was served in the Oregon House of Representatives. So, you know, for people who say they turned the station, and I get that occasionally, you know, I encourage you not to think that way. Just because you don't maybe like the sound of Art's voice or his cadence. Because it's everything else that we're talking about that is important. And frankly, he's not wasting anybody's time. You may think that he repeats himself, and maybe he does, but what, you think I don't sometimes? It's one of the reasons, by the way, I listen to myself occasionally in the, say, the evening replay, which we replay the first hour at 6 o'clock in the evening. And you know, the reason I do that to some extent is because I want to hear how I sound. And I want to pay attention to my cadence. And I want to pay attention to maybe repeating myself. Because, you know, there's things I don't like. And there's things that drive me crazy about other talk show hosts. And I get it. Because at some point in time, I turn them off or change and go somewhere else, too. I want to limit that. But I'm not going to stop Art from calling. He's my friend. He also has an opinion. That's what this show's about. Back in a moment with Janice Geisinger.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 24 minutes to the top of the hour. This is the second hour of the expanded three-hour version of Political Coffee. Great to have you with us. It's Freedom Friday. That's the, well, it's the day that I, as your benevolent dictator talk show host, I give you the freedom. Call and talk about anything political you want to talk about. Doesn't have to be what's on my plate. It's whatever you want to talk about. And we're going to do that again as we go along. Herman, you're going to hang on because in a moment we're going to go to an interview with my friend Janice Geisinger, whom is my go-to person when I have questions about Oregon's elections process and other things. She knows her stuff. She's been, as a grassroots activist, she's been observing and being a part of this for a long, long time. 503-589-1220 is, however, that Power Buick GMC talk line, or you can send me an email to Jeff at 1220.am. Well, I hit a nerve talking about my friend Art, because now I'm getting emails about it. Oh, my goodness. There is breaking news, by the way. Acting Secretary of Defense Miller orders Pentagon-wide halt to cooperation with the Biden transition team. All roads lead to China, folks. The data breach, supposedly by the Russians? Really? The Nevada GOP, by the way, subpoenas those DMV records. The data reveals that thousands of illegal aliens, non-citizens, voted. Oopsies. All of that is part of what we're talking about. So I'm asking this question, will he or won't he? Will Trump? Because all of his options are very quickly being limited or stalled, or all of his options rapidly diminishing to the point where he invokes the executive order and the Insurrection Act and uses the military to quell the riots that are expected and certainly go in and re-vote in certain areas of the country. Re-vote. Now, I don't know that that's ever been done before, but martial law has been 64 times invoked in various places around the country. It's okay. Will he or won't he? Is this a real possibility? I hope it doesn't happen for a lot of reasons. But it may be his only option, and not just for his election, folks. Whether these U.S. Senate runoff races, which probably shouldn't be runoff races at all, because they were probably stolen from them, just like the election was in Georgia. But more importantly, for the future of the republic, for your liberty. Because if we allow this to stand, all of the things that have stolen this election, not just Dominion voting machines and Smartmatic software and so forth, but all of the fraud, ineligible, underage people voting in Georgia, all over the country, illegal aliens voting in Nevada and other places. We don't fix this, you'll never have another legitimate election for the rest of your lives in this country. And the republic is gone, folks, because it means the Democrats will run the table. All roads lead back to China. The news about John Roberts, and there is news in a headline that is false, and I'm going to tell you that about John Roberts, and I'll tell you why. But the phone calls, the recordings that Lynn Wood says he has, he's a defamation lawyer. He wouldn't say that if he didn't have actual proof. All of this, I think, is a precedence leading to Trump invoking as his last option martial law, the Insurrection Act. I hope it doesn't happen. Janice Deisinger, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me today.
So why don't you just give everybody a quick background about who you are and how many years you've been involved in elections in Oregon.
Well, I'm just a citizen that got involved about 2008. I thought, you know, I think I have the right to go and check out what's going on at the elections office. And so I just decided to go down there and see what I could see. I had prayed about it quite a bit. And so I went down to the elections office and I thought, well, I'll go in there and I'll check it out and everything will be great and I'll go home. And when I got there, I was so distraught because I saw people changing ballot choices in front of me. I saw a number of things that really just didn't seem right. And so I contacted my party and the other people I knew, and over the next few weeks, we had 100 people down there witnessing what was going on. And we complained to the elections director, and that was in Multnomah County. And we got a little bit of help, not much. And so then we went to the county commissioners and eventually the county auditor. Then we started in the next year. We're noticing that laws were changing on us all the time. And so we started going to the legislature and offering testimony and trying to get better election law. That was by 2010. And things just seemed to evolve through the years as I became more active and involved in it. Eventually, James Buechel, I met him and he helped me and Mike Nierman, and he put forward an initiative petition to require voters to prove citizenship. And we worked on that quite a bit. So,
by the way, who was, when you were first experiencing how Republicans were being we're being shut out in Multnomah County. Who was the elections director then?
Tim Scott had just come here. It was his first year, his first election.
And the previous election director was?
I think it was Vicky. I want to say Paul, but I can't. I'm not sure.
Wasn't it the guy who just resigned from the, or got fired from the Secretary of State's office?
It was a woman.
It was, okay. Well, then my memory's not serving me correctly. All right, bottom line is you have a lot of experience. You've witnessed in Oregon for a long time,
yes,
Republicans not being allowed to adequately observe the elections process.
Even let us, he allowed us to go to certain places to see, he called the process, but he said you can't go into every place. So, like, I noticed they were processing ballots upstairs, and he had taken the press up there. I said, can I see what's going on up there? He says, no. No, you know the basic process of what's going on. So
but doesn't the law allow you to do that?
Yeah. So I got out. I used to be a pharmaceutical research nurse many years ago, and at that time there wasn't any schooling to do that. That was a long time ago, you know. And so I just looked at the law and started figuring out how I needed to do it by just reading law. And so I got out the law, you know, the Oregon statutes, and started reading that and carrying it around with me. And I said, see, I get to do this and I get to do that. He was very frustrated with me, but,
yeah. So describe for the voters, you know, fast forward to where we are today. You still observe election processes, but they still make it almost impossible for you to adequately do things like challenge a signature. It's really hard. Why don't you describe how that happens so the listeners can understand what you mean by it's hard to do it?
Okay. I haven't been able to go down to the elections office as many times in the last couple of years because I was taking care of my mother. She came to live with me, and so I was taking care of her. But I did go down. I do keep in contact with others that are there in the last couple of years. And then this last election, I was down there one evening, and it was just the same, except for it had gotten worse. The process in Multnomah County is that they use signature, bank signature software that looks at how closely your signature matches. So then it spits out some of them that they don't think that match at all. And then those are the only ones that we get to see. So, and how it works is the ballot signature and the registration signature in sets of four come across the screen in Multnomah County. They have a room where there are 12 screens. I think there's 12 or 13 screens now. And it has sets of four signatures on them that are processed probably every couple minutes. So you're not allowed to take any pictures. You just have to stand there and write down the number of the voter, which is pretty long, of any signature that you feel doesn't match, and then you're allowed to turn that in and say, I don't think those match. And there's only about three people allowed in there and one from each party. So it goes really fast. There's no way you can watch all 12 screens with four signatures each on them and do a really meaningful job of saying, I challenge this one, I challenge that one, and that.
Okay, hang on, Janice, because we need to go to the break. We'll be back with Janice Deisinger to further dive into how this doesn't really play out to be in filling of the law and what we might be able to do about it. Back in a moment at 7:48. Don't go away.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Ten minutes till the top of the 8 o'clock hour. By the way, I'm getting some great emails in defense of Art. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we are what we are as people. Interestingly enough, there is a there's a couple of interesting pieces here about Trump's signed executive order. And in it, did you know that we have been actually operating under, as a matter of fact, declared national emergency signed by President Trump since December 20th, 2017? And if some of these acts, crimes, have been committed during a declared national emergency, actually triggers the ability to try people for treason. A lot of the things going on in the Pentagon would, I mean, we're talking military tribunals, folks. Again, this is way out there and scares the living daylights out of me. And I hope and pray it doesn't happen. But there's another story, and we'll get to it in a moment. I'm just going to tease you with this because it'll be over the next hours. I'm going to finish up with Janice here. It's a story in the No-Q report. Is if we get the Dominion Solar Winds Moab, the mother of all bombshells, even John Roberts can't cover it up. Yeah, that's right. Janice is back with us. So Janice, what the process you're describing is that there are these 12 computers in a room. Each one of them are checking signatures of
a copy of the monitor that goes before one of the workers in the building that's checking signatures.
Right, but there isn't a Republican observer looking at each of the 12 screens, is there?
No. And what some of the results are that we're seeing on those signatures that I've seen in the past are signatures that is in cursive written out, do not count this ballot, it is fraud. I saw that one in two different years. And smiley faces.
Those are accepted.
Yes, any artwork that you put on your registration form is your signature. And I complained about it because they said, you know, we do forensic training for these people who check the signatures, and they take notary training. So I took the notary training to see what they, and my notary training said, if you don't think it's this actual signature or something alerts you that it's not a real name there, you should never accept it. So,
and they do
really,
they accept the actual, they accept smiley faces as a signature.
He said any artwork or that they put on their registration form for their signature, if it matches, that's what we accept.
That's stunning.
He can have a number because they keep a history of what you have. So
somebody
can take over your voter registration by, if they had some kind of idea of what your signature looked like in the past, or even if they didn't, they could fill out a new registration form with your birth date on it and do an update and put their signature, example of your signature on it, and it would be in that file of signatures, and it could take over your voter file.
So even in the signature verification process, Republican observers, there aren't enough of them, and you're not, there's no way, because you can't take pictures of the screen, there's no way to copy down the voter ID number when you do want to challenge a signature.
I take
because
the recorder with me, and I speak it into a recorder because that's the only way I can get
it. All right. But the problem is again, there aren't enough, so you can't verify every signature. All right.
It's a very important job.
In the last 3 or 4 minutes we have here, there's a lot of things wrong with the voter registration system that allows people to register online and never prove who they are and never have to prove that they are, and they get to vote. There's a lot of other problems, a lot of stuff you've witnessed over the years. Janice, how do we fix all of this in Oregon? How do we do it?
People have to volunteer to go down and be observers and take it back, because you're the voice of the whole electorate when you go down there. You see what's going on, and you can report back, and that keeps our elections free and fair. So get together with either your favorite candidate or your favorite party, and everyone, no matter who you are aligned with politically, you need to get down there and just show up and be a respectful observer who follows the rules, but be that witness within your county to do it. And some county, you know, with this COVID, they're really keeping us out. So they need to be informed. If they don't let you in, they need to be informed of the importance of an observer to report to the community. That's the voice for the computer. For the community.
Do we need?
And if we don't have it, we don't have a fair election.
Well, right, absolutely. Do we need to sue in federal court to get changes to the, say, the observing, the signature observing process?
I think it might be coming to that, because if our county clerks don't allow for it, and our legislators don't allow for it, because the law right now just says we're allowed to be in there so much as we won't interfere with the process. But that's not a meaningful observation. In some counties, they just say, well, we're a small office, so we can't do it. And that's ridiculous. So I think a lawsuit may be necessary federally in order to make sure that we do have it. But if people don't show up as observers to start with and push it to say, I need to be here, the community wants to know what's going on in here, then we won't ever get to the federal court.
Well said, Janice. Thank you, Janice. I do appreciate very much you spending the time to be with us and the great work that you've done as a volunteer grassroots person to be involved in this process. Folks, take what she said to heart. The first place you start, if you want to fix what's broken, and there's a lot we didn't even get into that's broken in Oregon's elections and voter registration process. If you want to fix it, you better show up on election day. Flood them, the offices everywhere, election offices. Even the ones that are really well run, flood them anyway. Be observers. Watch every part of the process and demand it.
Jeff, can I?
Yes, quickly.
Go to Oregonians for Fair Elections and votefraud.info. Oregonians for Fair Elections, votefraud.info. Either one of those. So.
Votefraud.info or Oregonians for Fair Elections.
Yes.
Okay. Great websites. Mike Nierman's a part of that, by the way, and we're going to be, Janice will be part of the 2008 Polk County recount that we're going to be doing with the Polk County folks and with a lot of you who've already said you want to help. If you want to help, send me an email, jeff@1220.am. Lots more to come,
2020
folks.
2020 recount.
And 2020, by the way. Oh, this is going to be fun, but it's important. The importance is the preservation of our republic and the future for our kids and our grandkids. You better be involved, folks. One more hour to go here on Political Coffee. Thanks, Janice. See you on the other side of the break, folks.